You're listening to SurgeCast, a podcast made specifically for busy general surgery residents. Okay, welcome back to SurgeCast. This is the second and final lecture in the section of spleen. The topic is going to be splenic abscess, splenic cyst, and splenic neoplasms. So I'll start off first with the splenic abscess. And generally speaking, splenic abscesses are rare complications of some other intra-abdominal infection, and they're incredibly rare, less than 0.5%. In terms of the pathophysiology, this is usually a polymicrobial infection that's related to some other infectious source. So that can either be from trauma, from surgery, or from hematologic seeding from elsewhere in the body. The diagnosis is made on a combination of the patient's presentation and imaging factors. And so as far as the presentation goes, the most common presenting symptom is going to be left upper quadrant pain and tenderness on physical exam. Patients, however, might also have associated splenomegaly, fever, left-sided pleural effusion, or pleuritic chest pain. In folks who have had a history of recent trauma, recent abdominal surgery, or recent infections such as endocarditis, appendicitis, or diverticulitis, you want to have a little bit of a heightened suspicion for this diagnosis. As far as the imaging goes, your imaging test of choice is going to be a CT scan, and that abscess is going to look hypodense. In some cases, it may be heterogeneous appearing and have some peripheral enhancement. The treatment is going to be operative, so that'll be a splenectomy, and that should be attempted in all patients who can tolerate splenectomy, and that's due because the non-operative management has a pretty high rate of failure and mortality, upwards of 40%. In terms of non-operative management, you can consider CT-guided aspiration with antibiotics, but if you're going to do antibiotics, you want to make sure that the patient isn't immunocompromised, in which case you'd have to, in addition to just having kind of broad spectrum antibiotic coverage, cover for fungal and mycobacterial infection. But again, I want to stress, in general, this is going to be operative management. Okay, Catherine, can you take us through the splenic cyst?
Sure. So splenic cysts, this is kind of coming down to one of those calls you love getting as a surgery resident where there was a CT ordered for some other problem and this popped up. So it's increasingly diagnosed due to the use of CT imaging, and there's variation in rates in certain areas of the world, and that's due to the fact that some of these are caused by echinococcal infections. So the pathophysiology of this, like most cysts, you want to think about this as either a primary or true cyst or a secondary cyst, and that's based on the presence of an epithelial lining. So primary cysts are either congenital or they're parasitic, and that's caused by certain echinococcal infections, so that's Echinococcus granulosis or Echinococcus multilocularis. Secondary cysts or pseudocysts often arise in the post-traumatic setting after conservative management of a splenic laceration. So to diagnose this, again, it's very kind of similar presentation to a splenic abscess. These patients are coming in with left upper quadrant pain and tenderness, but they can also have signs and symptoms of portal hypertension or mass effect from a particularly large cyst. On imaging, a cyst is low density and has no peripheral enhancement. That's what really differentiates this from the abscess. It also is going to be very well demarcated compared to an abscess or a neoplasm, either of which may have an irregular border due to inflammation or invasion. Echinococcal cysts, additionally on imaging, may sometimes have internal daughter cysts, which is something you should probably remember from step one, or they can have a calcified wall. So Rahul, I got this call from the emergency room that they had imaged somebody and they happened to have this very large splenic cyst. Do I have to take out their spleen?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of depends. And so it depends on exactly what kind of cyst it is. If it's a simple cyst, generally speaking, we prefer spleen-preserving operations, such as kind of cyst unroofing, cyst fenestration, or a partial splenectomy. However, the spleen-preserving management of secondary cysts, aka pseudocysts, again, those are the ones that are arising in kind of a post-traumatic setting, that often fails and the patients eventually do require splenectomy. A very special type of cyst called a hydatid cyst, which is the kind of echinococcal cyst, if you will, requires a careful splenectomy, making sure that you don't rupture that cyst because you can have anaphylaxis if it does rupture, and that can be devastating.
So switching gears, the last topic we want to talk about today is splenic neoplasm. So the epidemiology of this, first of all, I want to point out that splenic neoplasms are exceptionally rare. The primary malignant splenic neoplasms are very rare. You want to think about this kind of group of sarcomas, angiosarcoma, lymphangioma, or lymphangiosarcoma, most common of which is angiosarcoma. That's a very rapidly growing, very metastatic type of cancer. Your other options for this, so primary benign tumors of the spleen can be hemangiomas, hamartomas, lymphangiomas, or lipomas. And the most common of those is the hemangioma. The spleen can also be a site of mets from other types of cancer, most common being breast, lung, or melanoma. And then you also want to think about the spleen as a site for lymphoproliferative or myeloproliferative cancers, such as non-Hodgkin's, Hodgkin's, hairy cell leukemia, CLL, CML. Long list of those, but the most common is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And actually, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is overall the most common malignant tumor of the spleen. So to diagnose these, primary and metastatic splenic tumors are almost always asymptomatic, and they're going to be diagnosed by imaging for other reasons. Lymphoproliferative or myeloproliferative cancers, such as non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, those can present with, you know, cytopenia. And on imaging, these are going to show up with irregular margins, and they're heterogeneous. Occasionally, larger splenic tumors will have central necrosis, vascularity, or invasion into surrounding structures.
Awesome. And in terms of the treatment, so generally speaking, err on the side of splenectomy. Splenectomy is indicated for nearly all splenic tumors. You can consider a partial splenectomy if it's very small and benign, but generally speaking, larger tumors and malignant tumors are going to require splenectomy. Of note, a laparoscopic splenectomy can be completed with equivalent oncologic outcomes. Patients who have lymphoproliferative or myeloproliferative cancers that are symptomatic or have pancytopenia can also be considered for splenectomy. Okay, Catherine, let's do the high points now. So number one, what is the cause of a splenic abscess?
So those are due to seeding from another intra-abdominal or bloodstream infection or due to direct trauma.
Okay, and how are splenic abscesses treated?
Splenic abscesses have very high mortality. Any patient that can tolerate a splenectomy should undergo a splenectomy. Also, all patients should be treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics.
Okay, and what's the management for echinococcal splenic cysts?
So these patients also need a splenectomy, but a very cautious one. You have to be careful to not rupture the cyst due to the risk of anaphylaxis.
Okay, and what are the most kind of common causes of splenic tumors?
So primary malignant splenic tumor is an angiosarcoma. Primary benign tumor is a hemangioma. Metastatic tumors, you want to think about breast, lung, or melanoma. And then overall, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is the most common splenic tumor.
Okay, well, that wraps up this entire section of spleen, probably one of the shorter ones that we're going to do. Lots of information in there and should hopefully get you a couple points on the ABSCITE or your board exam. So thanks again for listening to SurgeCast. See you next time.
You can find SurgeCast on Spotify or iTunes. Make sure you follow us on Instagram or Twitter @SurgeCastPodcast or find us at SurgeCastPodcast.com.